You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, Wisconsin could face billions of dollars in unfunded retiree benefits over the next generation. We'll learn about what the state and local governments are going to face in the coming years.
First, the World Health Organization declared the Zika virus an emergency earlier this year. The virus is spread by mosquitoes and showed up in the Western Hemisphere in 2015.
Travel advisories have some people rethinking trips to Florida, specifically Miami-Dade County, where Zika-carrying mosquitoes are known to be present. According to the Centers for Disease Control, the disease has shown up along the eastern seaboard, and there have now been 31 confirmed travel-related cases of Zika here in Wisconsin.
Well, the virus causes mild symptoms like fever, rash, headaches, and sensitivity to light. It's also known to cause birth defects. Babies born to Zika-infested mothers may be born with microcephaly, with abnormally small heads, often accompanied by brain damage.
Some women who are thinking of having children have found it difficult to get tested because of stringent CDC guidelines, which allow only women who are already pregnant to be tested. Joining us now to tell us more is a UW Health maternal fetal medicine specialist, Dr. Kathleen Antony. Dr. Antony, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me on, Rob.
Well, let's talk about the group that we're talking about, women who are thinking about being pregnant, have been to areas where Zika is prevalent. How much should they be worried about exposure before getting pregnant?
If someone is worried they may have been exposed to Zika, the important precautions they should take before trying to conceive are, first of all, when they travel, the most important, you know, prevention technique is avoiding mosquito bites. And so that can be done by using, you know, the EPA-approved mosquito repellents, wearing long sleeves, you know, long hats that cover the nape of the neck, that sort of thing, or, of course, not traveling altogether.
And for women who think they might have been exposed and you know, it's hard to avoid mosquito bites completely, it sounds like it's hard to get tests for Zika. That seems like a group that might have a strong interest in getting those tests. Why is it difficult for them to get tested?
Right. So currently the CDC doesn't recommend Zika testing in asymptomatic, you know, men or women who have traveled before pregnancy. And so that means the state health department won't cover testing for that particular indication either. However, if someone had traveled to a Zika-affected area and had symptoms, then they would qualify for testing. Part of the reason for this is because the state health department is prioritizing testing of pregnant women and also of women and also of individuals who've had symptoms of Zika virus disease. They can; those people all qualify for testing. If someone wants a Zika test and doesn't qualify for one, though, there is some private testing available, but they typically would have to pay out of pocket for that sort of thing.
Now, let's talk about the Zika test. I suppose a lot of people probably do. I go in, I get a blood sample or something, and up or down, yes or no, it's a straightforward test. Reading up on this, it sounds like it is nowhere near that straightforward.
Right, exactly. And so at least during pregnancy, there's a couple of different ways that we test this. If someone is within 2 weeks of either the exposure period or they're having symptoms, there's one type of test that we send in. It's a blood test. And that test is called an RRT-PCR. However, if that particular test comes back negative for any reason, we typically would repeat the test about 2 weeks later. And the samples that we submit for testing include both blood and urine, because Zika can be found in the urine as well.
And it sounds like even with a couple different kind of tests or repeat tests, it's kind of hard to say, yes, 100% sure you do not have Zika.
Right. That is tricky. That's because Zika can have some cross-reactivity with dengue virus. And so particularly if we're sending the IgM test, that is one test where we can see some cross-reactivity with dengue. But overall, once we do the series of tests, and the RRT-PCR is actually generally pretty accurate.
Depends
on which test we do.
Talking to Dr. Kathleen Antony, UW Health maternal fetal medicine specialist, about testing for Zika. As I understand it, part of why the CDC isn't recommending wider groups get tested is that they don't want lots and lots of people who are panicked, think they might have Zika, probably don't, showing up crowding health facilities. Is that right?
Exactly. And a lot of the health facilities are actually burdened already. You know, some states have pretty long backlogs, even, you know, just for testing women who are pregnant or people who have symptoms, with some places taking, you know, a few weeks for the test result to come back.
And a lot of people with Zika don't know they have Zika. They might not even display any symptoms. Does someone who doesn't have symptoms, they're asymptomatic, do they still have the same risk of transmitting the disease to offspring or to their partners?
Right. And so actually, until even just a few weeks ago, at least all of the cases of sexual transmission of Zika virus disease happened in from men who, or, you know, among individuals who'd had symptoms. But it appears now that within the last month we discovered that there can actually be asymptomatic transmission of the Zika virus disease, you know, sexually between individuals. And so that means that of the, you know, majority of people who don't get symptoms of Zika virus disease, you know, they can continue to be transmitting it sexually as well.
Is this a concern you're hearing a lot here in Wisconsin in your practice?
It is, and actually travel, at least during pregnancy, appears to be much more common, you know, than we previously thought. We've had over 80 women who've been referred for Zika virus testing, you know, during pregnancy, and so it's actually not altogether uncommon. We're also not the only OB providers in, you know, even in this city, and so. You know, that doesn't capture all the women who've been tested, you know, at their own private clinic or at other providers here in town.
I know research is still going on, but from what we know, if a woman is exposed to Zika while pregnant or just before pregnancy, as she gets Zika, is it guaranteed, or what are the chances that microcephaly will be the result for their baby?
That's a great question. And the other issue is that microcephaly is really only one of the issues that can occur with Zika virus disease. You know, as everybody knows, it can cause microcephaly, which is a very, very small head of the baby. And the degree to which it's small can be pretty profound. But the reason the head is small is because parts of the brain don't develop properly. And so there can also be calcifications, issues with the eye. And in some cases, babies don't grow well, and there can be stillbirths and miscarriages. And if you take all of these findings together, it seems that the rate may be as high as 29%. And so all of these aren't necessarily microcephaly, but if you take all of the potential issues together, it may be, you know, almost as high as almost 30%.
Suppose a woman is pregnant, is diagnosed as having Zika. What then? Is there anything you can do to help her and help the outcome of the pregnancy?
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't have a treatment for Zika virus currently, but if a woman is having symptoms, we can treat the symptoms and give supportive care. If a woman tests positive for Zika virus disease during pregnancy, we can also screen the baby for anomalies by doing serial ultrasounds, and we can also see if the baby is affected by doing an amniocentesis to see if the infection has reached the baby.
Now, as someone who works directly with patients, I bet you're waiting maybe impatiently for research and developments to come along. What are you hoping to see next from, I don't know, people developing vaccines or tracking the transmission of the disease? What is on your wish list?
Oh, my gosh. So many things that I wish we knew. I think, you know, it would be nice to know exactly when during pregnancy the risk is highest. We know from data from Brazil that it appears that women who are infected at any point during pregnancy can have issues. You know, first trimester, we think that seems to be when the risk is highest of things like microcephaly. But even into the third trimester, it seems that there can be risks of stillbirth. But kind of parsing out when different things can happen, you know, would be one helpful thing. One exciting thing is research here at UW-Madison has actually shown that when primates are reinfected with the Zika virus a second time, you know, it doesn't replicate. And so that's exciting that there may be a vaccine that could theoretically be possibly developed, you know, against Zika virus disease in the future. And that would be tremendously helpful.
Dr. Anthony, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Dr. Kathleen Anthony, UW Health Maternal Fetal Medicine Specialist, talking to us about Zika testing.